The heavens were made for the earth. The earth was made for man. And man was made for God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? He created you for fellowship. He created you to worship Him. That's why we go to the house of God, because we want to fulfill the purpose of our life. Amen. Whatever we do it to the glory of God. The Bible said whether we eat or whether we sleep is to the glory of God. When we go to church, it's for the glory of God. When we preach a doctrine, it's for the glory of God. Not to glorify man, but to glorify Christ. When we work a job, whatever money we make is for the glory of God. If it ain't for the glory of God, it's not fitting to do. Amen. How many can say my life is for the glory of God? Amen. Get Jesus on your mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God bless you. We had such a wonderful service last night. If you wasn't here, you missed an awesome service. And it was so good. We're just going to have the preacher continue and preach this morning and finish up. Amen. He was just wonderful. Brother Wade Dale from Lula, Georgia. His father is the pastor there. He is the associate pastor. Brother Samuel Dale is the pastor, and this is his son, Brother Wade Dale, and his lovely wife is with him. And some of the folks from the church stayed over, so they're here with us this morning. We appreciate them. And always good to see Brother Aaron with us and Brother Luis and their contribution to the house of God. At the end of the service, we will be having a missionary offering. Taken up, so if they won't, the trustees won't let me forget that. But anyways, we are not going to be having the service tonight. So this is the main focus. Amen. Is the word of the Lord right now. Amen. We're not intimidated by time. We want God to be glorified. Amen. When we go home, we'll get plenty of time to rest. You get an extra hour to sleep in the morning anyways. And you got all evening to sleep if you want to. You do, I don't. Amen. I never have time to sleep until I lay down and God gives me a little bit. But anyways, we love the Lord. I wanted to show that little film clip. A brother from Africa had put it together and sent it to me, and it meant so much to them. I thought, you know, it's wonderful. And that that excerpt, you know, seeing the lions attack that Cape buffalo. And he was vulnerable. He was finished. But God came on the scene. I'm talking lions surrounded by lions. And God so distracted them. It's like a bunch of preachers. We can have all kind of good food for the people, for the whole family. And we get to fussing and fighting. We forget about the whole purpose of why we're there. So you can look at it that way, or you can look at yourself as being that Cape buffalo laying on the ground. Devil's got you by the throat. And Jesus says, no way. And he confuses the mind of the devil. And he goes seven different ways. Amen. And we come out victorious. We might come out limping a couple steps. But you see that Cape buffalo, he straightened right up. Went over that hill. And he was home free. Amen. I believe we're fixing to cross over the hill of Zion. And it'll all be over. So may God bless you. Amen. How many believes God can still roll back the Red Sea? God can still take and deliver his people again. So let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Wade Dale is going to come. We appreciate Brother Wade Dale. I said he's a happy man. He's a positive man. And the reason he's happy is because he's got something to be happy about. Amen. He's got the Lord in his life. And so how many have Jesus in your heart? Amen. I tell you what, man, y'all can do 50 times better than that. How many's got Jesus in your heart? Become God conscious. Amen. Just lay your hand on your chest. Say, Jesus lives right there. Can you imagine the creator of heaven and earth is right behind your hide? Right behind your hide, Brother Fred? Right behind my hide? Or maybe you would like me to call it skin. Amen. I'm a country boy. I used to get my hide whipped. Amen. I like to say Jesus is behind that hide now. Amen. I got whipped enough. Now it's time for me to be blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed because of his goodness. God bless you this morning. Amen. Let's just sing a little worship song as we bring Brother Wade Dale out and let him just open up his heart and preach the Word of God to us. Pull on the gift of God. I told you last night we're going to wring him out. We're going to get everything he's got. When he goes back home, he won't have nothing left for the people for a month. You have to study for a month to get anything good enough for the church. Amen. So in other words, what I'm saying, get your portion this morning. Amen. Receive the Word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to sing, but I know I'm blessed. Amen. I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I'm blessed. A little bit faster than normal, but it's good enough for today. Amen. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed.
That I live. When I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I wonder what the Apostle Paul would have to do if he had to wire him up every service. He'd throw this thing out the window. Be done with it. Good to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you were here last night? We had a good time, didn't we? We're going to try to continue that good time today. I want to thank all of you for having me here. And we got about, still got about, 15 or 20 of our own church people here tonight, this afternoon, and they do a good job. They do a good job there. Brother Luis leads singing for me on Sunday afternoon, and he sets a real good atmosphere. And Lord, I cannot understand. Sister Christine, she don't weigh 90 pounds soaking wet, but I think she's all lungs. So she can sing, and I don't know where it comes from. But it comes out of that little old body. And she does. She's like me. She doesn't need a microphone. But greetings in the name of the Lord. Good to be here again. I told Brother Tim, you know, this is the first time I've been here, and I feel like I've been here 100 times. That's the way a man ought to feel. Just like we said last night, when you go to your to your family at Thanksgiving, you're not nervous when you go to the door. You're not nervous when you go in the house. You're not nervous when you take off your shoes. You're not nervous when you say, "Hey, Aunt Mary, can you bring me some sweet tea?" Right? Why? Because you're family. And this family is an eternal family. This is the family that we should be giving Thanksgiving every day. Amen? Is that all right? We're good to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bibles, we're not going to do any PowerPoint tonight or this morning. So, hey, it's 12 o'clock. It's time to eat. So let's eat. Amen? It's 12 o'clock. The whole world's filling the restaurants full. We're going to fill the church full. And we're going to eat a little bit. But thank you again, Brother Tim, for having us. We had a wonderful time last night. Like I said, we were going to sit down today and rest and listen to Brother Tim, but the Lord had a different attitude. He had a different way. So we kind of put something a little bit together that will fit into what we were talking about last night. So if you weren't here last night, you're just going to have to let the Lord fill in the blanks. Amen. I was thinking when Brother Tim was talking about hide. Well, God's hiding in your hide. He's hiding in there. The world don't know where he's at. I was just reading the Bible the other day where Jesus, when he went up, you know, everybody, and I don't, listen, I'm not so dogmatic. We don't have, but why do people pray like this? Where's God? The angel, there was two men standing beside him, says, "You men of Galilee, why are you looking up in the cloud?" He said, "That same Jesus that you see going up in the cloud is coming back in the same way. And I believe that's already happened. But it's got to happen to you. That cloud's got to come to you." And he descends into the heart of the believer. So listen, he's not up here. Moses even got that revelation. He's not over the sea. He's right here. He's nigh thee in thy heart. The word of faith that we preach. So thanks again to Brother Tim. Thank you all for being so accommodating. And the food was wonderful last night. And the fellowship and the friendship is always good. Good to meet new family members. If you don't know who I am, my name is Brother Wade Dale from Lula, Georgia. Brother Tim introduced me. I'm the associate pastor there with my dad. Been in the... Brother Dale's been in the message since about 1968, so he's a warrior. And proud that I have a spiritual father and a natural father, being the same person. It's really nice to do that. So let's turn now in our Bibles to Ephesians 1, and that's what we read last night, but we're going to try to, you know, there's many ways to get to New York. Right? There's not just one way to get to New York. There's many ways to get to New York. I wouldn't want to go there if it was only one way. But anyway, if you're from New York, I'm sorry. I like my little 30 acres at home, you know, where me and the family live. So, and I like it there. But no offense to you people if you're from New York. It's just I'm glad you're here, not in New York. So. But today we're going to speak a little bit. Now, last night we the prophet of God told us. He said, "We must know these things." I'm one that believes if the prophet of God preached it, then it's open for me to preach. Amen? And like Brother Tim and I were talking about last night, we need to get the essence of this message. Because Paul picks up, he says, the letter will kill you, but the Spirit will give you life. Amen? So let's take the essence of the message. Because, you know, Jesus, the Pharisees walked up to Jesus one day and would start yakking a little bit, and Jesus told them something, and they said, "We have Moses. We are Abraham's children." You know what they were saying? "We've got Moses' quote book." They were carrying a quote book around, but they had no idea what that book said. If they would have known, Jesus said, if you'd have known that, you would have known me because he spoke of me. Amen? So every time I mash play, whenever I want to, not because I have to, I mash play. Amen? That's God talking to me. Not every A, N, and then, and but, and if this is in line, if that's in line. No, I get the essence of what's being said. Because that man's not talking to you. He's talking to me. Amen? God's not talking to you today because I don't know about your experience, but God died for me on a cross. You're going to have to decide that for yourself. Amen? So Ephesians 1, what we're going to do today is we're going to speak on a little subject that we spoke on many years ago. Actually, I pulled this out of my thumb drive and thought, well, it kind of goes in with Ephesians 1 like we were talking about last night. But our call to adoption. Our call to adoption. You and I have a call. No other age was called to the adoption that you and I are called to. And Paul clearly tells us how to get there. Well, last night, you know, we were talking about where we came from. Now we're going to talk about what we're doing here. We hit on that a little bit, but listen, obviously if we know where we come from, if we know what we're doing here, it's obvious where we're going. Amen? If you know that which was, which is, and is to come, if you know that which was and that which is, you're going to know what that is to come. Because we're a prophetic people. I believe we're a prophetic people. We have prophetic insight. Because what? The seal's been pulled back. Amen? And we can see clearly. Paul said, I see through a glass darkly. Not us. No. No, that fog's been cleared away. And you and I now are called to adoption. Amen? Ephesians 1 verse 1. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day that we have to come and speak to the greatest people. There's nowhere, you know my heart, Lord. There's nowhere I'd rather be than right here. Speaking to the purchase of your blood. The very eternal life that was before the foundation of the world when you said, let us make man in our image. Father God, we are looking at that image today in a group of people, as our pastor said, hiding in hide. Hiding in simplicity. And the world knows nothing about it. Father, we ask you today that you'd forgive us of our sin. Lord, bless the people, Lord, as they come and sit and listen. May the words not be void, but return, Lord, and accomplish that which goes out. Father, we pray that you'd be with the missionaries on the foreign field. Protect them, Lord, and give them fruit for their labor. Father, just today, give us our daily bread. It's the time most of earth is now eating at 12 o'clock. Well, Lord, let us sit down and feast on a table that's been spread, that we have no reservation for reaching to get something to eat, that it's all been laid there for us. Father, just bless us. Be with this church. Be with the deacons, the elders. Be with our pastor, Brother Tim, Lord, a precious brother, Lord. Keep him strong. Keep the ministry strong here, Lord. Bless, Lord, bless the ones that help, all the sisters and the wives and of the ones that make the food and all those things. Lord, just be with them and give them supernatural strength. Father, just be with us today and take care of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus says, amen. Amen. Ephesians 1 verse 1. I'm going to try to keep my voice today. And I'm going to try not to run around the building. My people told me last night, they said, where'd you get that from? Well, our church is not too big, so I can't run around too much. But we had a good time last night. Amen. Had a good time in the Lord. Amen. This wasn't for show. Listen, we're servants. It takes us hours while you're out, and I like to hunt. But while you're out hunting and fishing and doing those things, Brother Tim's sitting in his study saying, God, what do you have for your people? Not, God, what can I say to make me look good? No, not. No, for your people, Lord. So we are servants. Amen? Paul, an epistle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We were talking about a will last night. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus at Living Word Tabernacle. Grace be to you. Hey, make this thing personal. This is a letter written to you. Amen. This is your will. Today we've come again to the reading of a will. I'm going to give you another portion of that will for you to take in. And you know what? Be like Caleb. God, give me that mountain. Yes. Amen? Yes. What about a man 80-something years old, just as strong as he was when he was 40? Yes. Something got a hold of him, people. Yes. You know what? It was a promise. He said, Jacob, you remember that promise. That's my mountain. Yes. Jacob didn't say, no, wait a minute, Caleb, you're about 80 years old. You can't hardly walk. No, he said, go get it. And you know what? He did. I like the results. You can tell me the journey all you want to. That's fine. Give me the results. Give me the end of the battle. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us. Now watch. Being a teacher, I like to take words. Look, we weren't chosen of him. I'm going to take this off. Can't fight with that thing on. All right. You ready? We were chosen in him. Now look, Judas was chosen off him. Lucifer was chosen of God. But they not either one of them was chosen in him. According as he has chosen us in him. I like that. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. How many of you came in here today holy? That's what he said. And without blame before him in love. Having predestinated. Somebody say us. Having predestinated us, not the world. Unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ. What? To himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. And what did we say last night his will was? His will is his word. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Is everybody all right? Say amen. Amen. Brother Neil, heavenly days. Hey, buddy. How you doing? Good, I'm perfect. Doing good, good to see you. And I woke up this morning, I did not think I'd see Brother Neil. So good to see you, man. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't be down your way by the end, after Thanksgiving, Brother Mike Holtigs. What the? Do I? Yeah, I won't. All right, look, what is the Holy Ghost given for? Listen, I'm going to read a couple of quotes, and then we're just going to dig into some scripture, okay? Is that all right? Because I believe, you know what? I saw a picture the other day. I saw a picture of Brother Branham. You remember the picture he's got his hat on? He's walking out of the tabernacle. He don't have a stack of books this high. He's got a Bible and a tablet. He got a bottle. He had a Bible and his tablet. He didn't have to bring all this electronic stuff. No, he got it straight from God. And he gave it from God straight to us. Amen? Then all right, say amen. If it's not in the Bible, listen, faith's final resting place should be in the Word of God. Amen? If you got a question about something, take it back to God's Word. Amen? There's your infallibility. Brother Bram said on what the Holy Ghost is given for, we're not going to have anything on the screen today. You just have to listen. We're in the days now. Back there, they wasn't half as smart as today. They couldn't make an atomic bomb or an automobile. They didn't have science and things as we have now. Things of mysterious things, he said. To try to say man blowed together by some dust and so forth and take some analysis and try to prove it to make infidels out of people. But now, when we need it, the Spirit of God raises the standard. Right. What is it?
Come on.
He's pouring in his Spirit.
Come on.
Then those who are resting out yonder in the grave. Now, we were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I want you to get something in your mind.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm not looking for a rapture. The rapture is an event that will happen because of things that happened before. Amen? We got to bring the dead out of the ground. That's why I told you last night, the word is nigh you. It's in your mouth. This adoption brings you to authority.
to where when you speak, listen, people, when Adam was naming the animals,
I'm not going back, I'm going to step in.
When Adam was naming the animals, this big gray thing walks up with a big snout. Adam says, "That's an elephant." God never said, "Now wait a minute, Adam, I don't think you should do it." No, he said, "That's exactly what I was thinking." He was so in tune with God that whatever Adam said, God said, amen? That's what we got to get back to.
That all right? Say amen.
So I'm looking for a voice. I told him the other day, I said, "You may think I'm wrong, but when I went to graduation at Banks County High School in 1978, yeah, that's how old I am. In 1978, we still wrote on blackboards. We didn't have, what was an iPad? That was a shoe. You had a pad on your shoe. That was about it. If you wrote in your palm, that was an iPalm, you know. Amen? They did have paper back then, though, so I got a diploma. But remember, when they gave me that diploma, what did they say? They said, "Samuel Waddell II, you have graduated and met all the requirements of the state of Georgia. Now, we don't want you back. You're finished." But what was more important, children, men, ladies, was the diploma more important, or was the 12 years of learning more important? That 12 years of learning was more important than that paper. So the rapture is that diploma. But it's all these things that's got to happen before. I think we sit down and we go, "Well, now, God, you know when you're coming. You got an X on the calendar up there in heaven somewhere. And that's the day you're coming, and we can't do anything about it." Now, that's not true. If we're sons and daughters of God, and His will is His word, what He said about us has already been settled, then we have to come to a place of authority to bring those saints out of the ground and bring them here among us. Then we'll go in a rapture. So I want that voice of the resurrection. I hate funerals. I just don't like them. Brother Tim, I'm just honest. I'll do them. First thing I ever done was a funeral of a 16-year-old kid that had died of an overdose of marijuana that his daddy had given him. Because they were family. It was a family. And I hate it. I just can't. To me, death, I know what death is. I know it takes us from one place to another. But listen, Adam and Eve before the fall, that word death was never spoken. Never mentioned. They didn't have a clue what death was. Till we know what happened. Now, I'm not going to finish this quote. Let me finish this quote. "Then those who are resting out yonder in the grave are under the altar of God, as the scripture says, are crying, 'How long, Lord? How long?'" Remember, the prophet of God went across the curtain of time. Uh-huh. They said, "You got to go back." Yeah. And said, "We got to come back too." Yeah. Amen? Yeah. They're humans. Yeah. Sure, they're in their theophany, but they don't have a flesh body. Their flesh body is here. Yeah. They are humans. They want to connect back and become whole again. Yeah. And that's our job. Yeah. Yeah. As living people. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I love that. Why are we seeking living things among all this death? Right here is the only thing. Right here. How long, Lord? How long? How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. What the Holy Ghost is given for now, let me make sure you, it's not me saying this. 1959. God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us His fullness, His power, His resurrection. That when the church and Christ become so close together, till Christ becomes visible among us. I'm reading.
raises the dead, and we go in the rapture. Amen. That's what we're looking for. Amen. So there's a position we got to come to. And it's not just going to drop down on us like a bomb. It's a journey. Amen. Romans 8:28. Let's read that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are what? The called. Amen. Not just called. Remember, many are called. Amen. But few are chosen. Amen. Look, who are them are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. Amen? Listen, John was the Baptist. They wasn't but one. Right. Amen? That word the is pointing to one thing. So you are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. We're going to have to cover that just a little bit on predestination to get into what we're talking about. Is that okay? Yes, predestination shouldn't scare you. Is that all right? Okay. All right. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of who? His son. I look like my daddy because I'm his son. I have his genetics. Amen? Is that all right? Everything okay? That we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen? You and I, by foreknowledge. So what come first? Predestination? Foreknowledge. The Bible says those who he foreknew. He did predestinate. Because remember, I'm going to read you a quote right here where Brother Bram says, no, it's not like God pulling you through a tube. No, sir, we have a free moral agency right now today. You can grieve the Holy Spirit and he can go out on a limb, the prophet said, or withdraw his anointing from you until you quit misbehaving. It's what we're coming to adoption. You know what the problem is sometimes we forget we've left the Holy Ghost out on the limb. Amen? We forgot that. We need to bring him back in. And the only way to do it is by what? His will, his word, by the preaching of the gospel. Look, God's covenant with Abraham, 1956. Brother Abraham said, now we covered this last night. For those of you who wasn't here, I'll background a little bit. Now, Jesus didn't come to Calvary just for a haphazard thought. Well, I'll die up there and perhaps somebody will feel sorry for me and come down and get saved. No, God don't run his office like that. You don't run your office like that. Jesus come for one specific purpose. Remember we talked about last night, Jesus did not come to bring you your inheritance. All the ones that weren't here are quiet. It's the truth. Amen? He didn't bring you your inheritance. He came to make a way for you to get back to your inheritance. Your inheritance was before the foundation of the world, set in stone, preserved in, just for you. Amen? Watch, Jesus come for one specific purpose. That was to redeem those that God foreknew would be redeemed. Amen? Now all these others, the foolish virgin and a cup of water in my name, that's all peripheral. That's all, they're given eternal life. I'm talking about somebody that today, that the Holy Ghost resides in your soul. Not on you. You can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell. That's the problem with this age. We got so many anointed ones that are so close. But they can't put the word together. They cannot put the word together. That's why you see people denying and running off and doing all these things in the message. Somebody said the other day, told me, said the bride said, she's sure looking bad. I said, you're a liar. The bride has never looked bad. The bride is who she is. Now look, all that mixed multitude, that's what looked bad. That's what made Israel have a bad name. Amen? It wasn't the bride. The bride's always been in tune with God. Is that all right? Say amen. God's not willing that any should perish. He died for everybody. But he knew who would and who wouldn't. Amen? By foreknowledge. That way he could predestinate. Because look, predestination is predetermined. You predetermine your destiny. But by foreknowledge, God can do that. Not by just going, you're going to be saved. Listen, I told the church the other day, the love of God is what gives us our free moral agency. Think of that. If we had no free moral agency, we would be really, we'd be zombies. We'd be doing just what? But given a free moral agency, how we love God so much, how he loved us so much, that he give us a choice. How great is that? How many times, Brother Tim, has somebody said, you got to do this? You got, boy, it just makes you, kind of gets you a little, your righteous indignation comes up a little bit. But if somebody said, Brother Tim, now, you can choose whether you want to do this or not. That sounds a lot better, doesn't it? Amen. Well, that's the way God is. Amen. He put us on free moral agency. Now, look, the word predestinate, as it's used in Ephesians 1, verse 5, predestinate there isn't a good word. It means in speaking of predestination to the people sometimes leads them to think that God just predestinated you to push you through a little pipe or something. That's not right. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. So what was first? Foreknowledge was first. Those he foreknew he could predestinate. Amen? If you knew how many children you were going to have and all those things when you got here, then you could predetermine their destination. But we don't. We're a free moral agent. And thank the Lord we didn't know how many of kids we have. Is that all right? I hear some of you are repopulating the world. That's all right. I'm 57. Leave me alone. I'm like Brother Homer Longoria. I like my grandkids two ways, coming and leaving. Yeah. And I'll promise you one thing, God is not a granddaddy. We'd be the most spoiled bunch of people. We would be horrible. But no, he's a father. And we know that. Amen? So now let's begin. After we read those quotes, let's see that we were. We are predestinated for a purpose. This end time, there was a predestinated group of people. By foreknowledge, he knew you'd be sitting here today. By foreknowledge, he knew that I'd be speaking today. And he knew that either you would accept it or reject it. Amen? You're either going to leave the service better or worse. That's your choice. Amen? So now let's start in the Bible and let's look at what? We want to look at this time of adoption as maturity. Because remember, June and I have been married 38 years. Now, I married a bride. But today I'm married to a wife. I'm married to a mature woman that knows more about me now than ever before. Amen. God started with the bride. But remember Revelation 19, the Bible says his wife has made herself ready. His wife has made, in other words, her wife has done something to come to a position that she knows exactly what that husband wants. Amen. We're all bride, right? Hey, don't beat on the women too bad. We're all feminists in the body. Is that all right? Is that okay? People say, when I come up in the 60s, they always say, well, if we get the women straightened out, we can go into rapture. You know what? I agree with them now. But I'm talking about the bride of Christ. I'm not talking about their wife. Amen? Let's turn to Galatians 3 and let's begin in the scripture. Is that all right? We got all day. Galatians 3, verse 21. Let's cover this a little while in the Bible. We'll stay in the Bible here now for a little while if that's okay. Galatians 3, verse 21. Now here's Paul speaking. He said, is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. We covered it last night for the ones who weren't here. There was no redemption in the Old Testament. There was no new birth in the Old Testament. That Genesis 1:26 man was locked up. Because that's the bride. Amen? Is that all right? Everybody okay with that? For the ones that weren't here, we covered it pretty well, and I believe I talked to Brother Tim last night, and he's okay with everything I preached. So if he's nodding his head, then I'm fine. The rest of you can fight it out somewhere else. That all right? But the scripture hath concluded. Now watch Paul. Listen, what was Paul reading?
He wasn't reading his Bible. He was reading the Old Testament. He says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Because remember, the law is what puts you in jail. Right? The law puts you in jail. Christ had to get you out. You put yourself in there. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, watch him, he's going back. We were kept under the law. What? Condemned. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Amen? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Now listen, look at me for a minute. How many of you are brand new Christians? Oh, everybody, well, no, there's nobody brand new Christian. Well, that's good. Either you're lying. But when I become a brand new Christian, I became born again. I was so legalistic. Think back when you first got born again, you looked at every. Why? You had just come from the law. Remember, Jesus, even standing, that's why I said the New Testament didn't start to the book of Acts. Because Jesus would stand there and he would heal that leper. And what would he say? Go do the law of Moses. Right? Telling them to go to the temple, present yourself to the priest. Why? Because he was what? He was born under the law. I'm going to read it to you. Christ was born under the law. That he could bring us out from under the law. Amen? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. So as a young Christian, we're always, sorry, we're always condemning. We're always looking, well, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore, but it looks like so-and-so's doing it, you know what I mean? What, do's and don'ts? Do's and don'ts. This thing's not a do's and don'ts. When you mature, when you come to maturity, you don't condemn, you pray for them. That's what we got to come to, where we pray for the people. Amen. And I was the world's worst. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Where's Carlos? Well, Carlos told me, he said, you know what? I used to sit back in church when I first got saved. He said, I'm telling on y'all because he's telling me the story about sitting in this church. I guess. He said, them people come in 15, 20 minutes late. Brother Brown said, be there 20 minutes before the service starts. He said, I did it until we started having kids. He said, then I was 15, 20 minutes late. So he quit condemning y'all that he was condemning before. Telling a story on you, brother. But remember, that's what we were. We come from under the law. Listen, if you're not born again, you are under the law. That's what's condemning you. That's what at the day of judgment is going to condemn you, is the law. But after, watch it, Galatians 3:25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For what? For ye all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Watch. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Look, and if ye be Christ, now this is if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and what? Heirs according to the promise. What were we talking about last night? Heirs. Amen, we were heirs. We got something. We come out from under the law. But now watch. Watch Paul continue his thought. Listen, people, just for a minute. In history, the Bible was not written in chapters. Right? Paul would just bring a thought and come right down with a thought. Man's the one that put chapters in here. So I don't believe there should be a chapter 4 of Galatians. It's just a continuation of 3. Is that all right? Because watch his thought. If ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Verse 29. Now watch, Galatians 4:1. He's continuing the thought. But now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have the potential. You have the body change inside of you already. Boy, that ought to make you feel happy. You don't have to go get it. It's right there. You have all the potential. But you still a free moral agent. That's the only way I can understand it. If we don't take a body change, it's not Tim Hume's fault. It's not William Branham's fault. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. Is that all right? Look. Now, he's an heir. He's a child. He's in the family. Amen?
That's right.
The prodigal son was a son. Right? But he's under, let me finish again. Let me go back again. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He has all potential, in other words. But is under tutors and governors, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Huh? Huh? I'm sorry, did I add to or take from? Is that right? By revelation, that's what that's saying. Tutors and governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children. Remember Paul, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I did childish things when I was a child. But in other words, when I put that away, I didn't keep sucking my thumb and asking for daddy. Brother Tim. Save my children. Brother Tim can't save your children. If you had lived before him, right? In this message, we have become so Catholicized. We have become so Catholicized. That's why I said last night, you speak it. Try it sometime. Sitting in the cool of your home. Say, God, my son is out in sin. Bring him home. Don't look for the phone and go, Brother Hill, my boy's in prison again. Well, it's okay to know that, to pray for him. That's all right. But why cry? You speak it. Your body change doesn't lie in Tim Hume. It lies in you. I'm not mad. I'm just adamant. Is that all right? Not mad. Thank you, sister. Lord bless your heart. Sometimes the sisters forget they can shout and say, hey, amen. You go right ahead. Sometimes you might get it better than a bunch of our knot-headed men. That all right? Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now that's right, say amen. Amen. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, can you say that? We, look, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, he continues his thought. I love Paul. Paul was just a master speaker. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Daddy, Daddy. Abba, Father is Father, Father. Is that all right? Or Daddy, Daddy. Papa, God. Amen. Now look, your adoption is not your birth. That's obvious. But I'm going to read you a quote to make sure you know that Brother Brown knew it was obvious. All right, is that okay? Hear ye him, 1960. Brother Brown said, now listen, the brethren sitting here, if that boy was a good boy, there come a certain day, oh my, a certain day, till there was a ceremony held for that boy. And that boy was taken out into a public square, was put on a certain royal robe. They performed, the father did perform the performance of adoption. And he adopted his own son that had been born. Now, when you receive the Holy Ghost,
That's one thing, you're born. Comma. But now for the ceremony of adoption. Amen? So your adoption, you're not, listen, we'll read it in a minute, because in Romans 8, Paul really lays it out. And we're going to read it in Romans 8 in just a few minutes. But you come to a place, one thing, you're born again. But you come, you receive the spirit of adoption, not adoption. That's not an automatic process. And we will, we'll use some examples here in a little while. Then he adopted this boy into his family, and they had a ceremony. Now, if they'd write checks, anything that boy did was just as good. His name was just as good on a check as his father's. After that adoption, he was there after the adoption. Now watch, Brother Branham said, questions and answers. 1959, before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost because he knew you'd want it. And he chose you himself because you desired. He chose you in Christ before you or Jesus or any of you was on earth. And he sent Jesus to die to prepare the way to send the Holy Ghost to bring you to himself. Remember, Jesus didn't bring you an inheritance. He came to make the way for you to get to your inheritance. Your inheritance was at Genesis 1:26, man, before the foundation of the world. You can't touch that. Man, the devil, nobody can touch that. That's eternal. Now look, if you want to, you can go ahead and turn to Romans 8. Verse 14, and we'll break this down for just a minute, if that's all right. Everybody all right? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm not running around like I did last night, so I'm just kind of staying right here. Is that all right? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a brother, and I'm going to tell you who he is. About 5 years ago, this brother came up to me, and he said, man, I was at this meeting, and he said, that preacher just burnt my hide. Burnt my hide. I said, what did he preach on? He said, well, he told them women how to dress, and he told us how to act. I said, and that burnt your hide? He said, yeah. I said, did you go to the altar? You know me. There ain't a lot of filter between here and here. But I think I say, usually. I said, were you in the altar? I said, because that don't burn my hide. I need the Holy Ghost if that burns my hide. Amen? What burns my hide is a man can stand up here and read this Bible and show you something that you've read 500 times. Or you read a quote, and you get a revelation from that quote, and you've read that book. You say, my Lord, I read that book last week. I didn't read that quote. And a preacher brings it out. That burns my hide. That I didn't see it first. I'm a happy guy, okay? All right, listen. I enjoy life. I enjoy being around people. And I sure like being around people that are like-minded. Amen? But look, when we look at adoption, we don't see many times in Scripture. We see many types, because remember, Adam was a type of adoption because he had full control. What he said, listen, don't throw anything at me. What he said, God didn't have to back it up. It was already backed up. He gave him full authority. Adam, what you say, that's the way it's going to be. That's what we lost. Adam didn't lose his sonship. He lost the ability to have full control over this earth. But in Israel, and I'll bring this in the Bible, but in Israel, the country of Israel, they have what they call a bar mitzvah. My daddy can't pronounce that word. He's tried to say it 100 times. But it's bar mitzvah. Yeah, right, Aaron, I know. Bless his heart, he can't say it. But bar means son of, right? Simon bar Jonah, that means he was bar, was the son of Jonah. So they have a bar mitzvah. So whatever is the son of, they bring him out and do the same thing. They have a ceremony. The Orthodox Jew, they still do it today. My dad watched it over in Israel when they did it one day in a ceremony in the street. Put a coat on him. But you know what struck me, though? I many times I have to take it back to the Scripture. Because Jesus, when he was, because they do this at 13 years old.
And they're able to go in the temple. Now, they're not able to do any of the work, but they can read the scripture, and the scribes will listen at that age because they've come to a position. I always wondered why a little 13-year-old boy named Jesus could walk into a temple. Remember when his mom and daddy lost him for 3 days? Well, his supposed mom and daddy lost him for 3 days. Where did they find him? In the temple. And if you'll read your Bible, they were listening to what he said. It wasn't just that he was God Almighty in human flesh, because they didn't know that. But he spoke because they would let him speak at 13 years old. That's the reason they were listening to him. And I thought, man, that's wonderful. That he even had to come under the law. I just read it to you. Jesus come under the law, that they wouldn't have listened to that boy if he'd have been 12 years old or 11 years old. But he came to the age, he came to that bar mitzvah. And they would listen to what he said. Because remember, the scripture says they were confounded at what he said. Is that all right? Say amen. That's just give you a little tidbit. I'm not going to charge you for that one. All right, so let's turn to the book of Romans and let's see how this is done. Because watch, to me, adoption is in three stages. I like the number three. Is that all right? We okay today? I'm not even been going an hour. Man, this is good. Don't get too happy. We're not done yet. Man, they told me I preached an hour and 45 minutes last night. Did this seem like an hour and 45 minutes? It was good, though, wasn't it? Amen. I enjoy it, too. You know what? Preachers enjoy it. You know, Brother Bram told that guy at the time. He said, that guy said, well, I don't like anybody bragging on me. Brother Bram said, that guy's a liar. Amen. I'm still a human. If I can't get nobody to pat me on the back, I told somebody the other day, I said, stretch your arm way out like this. Raise it over your head and go. I'm not being arrogant. I'm really not. I'm just confident in what God's given me to do. I believe I can reach people where others can't reach. Brother Tim can reach people. I'm not saying it's just me. Brother Aaron, Brother Luis, all of you minister brother. You have a way to communicate. Maybe I told him the other day, listen, in this hour, well, whatever sermon, in this hour sermon that we're going to preach, you're only going to get about 15 minutes of material. But your 15 minutes of material may not be your one sitting beside you. He may or she may get another 15 minutes of that sermon. You don't want to understand what I'm saying. Some of the things you're going to go, well, I already knew that. Some of you are going to think, man, I never saw that before. Well, you know what? That's like the woman said, hey, he called me a buzzard. The other woman said, he called me an eagle. They heard the same sermon. Amen. Amen? So you get out of it, but get your little portion. Always take that little piece of bread and stick it in your pocket and go to the house with it. Is that all right? All right, let's go to Romans and let's look at adoption in three stages. Maybe this will kind of help. You know, sometimes you muddy the water so you can catch fish better. You know, when I'm trout fishing, I like to go down and stir it up a little bit. What? To get it muddy where they can't see you. Then I can catch them. All right, so the first stage, let's look in Romans 8, verse 14. We won't be long. All right, look. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? Amen? That's your foundation. That's your new birth. That's starting out as a newborn babe. Because look, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, you've come out. What? The law bound you. But Christ freed you from that. Amen? But he's not just wanting to free you. You say, oh, I'm free in the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. But let him keep working. Let him keep working. Listen, the Holy Ghost will never stop. You stop him. So let's be free in the Spirit. Listen. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy. When you first started out in your journey, and it's okay. It's okay to start out in your journey and, Brother Tim, right? But there's a time. My daddy's 77 and I'm 57. I don't call him if I have a little problem. I handle it myself because I'm a man. But mean I'm not his son. Amen. I'm still his son. And if I have a big problem, I can call. I say, hey, big daddy, I got a problem. But I don't go, daddy, 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 daddy. Lord of mercy, have it. How old are you? How old are you? 18? Good grief, what a baby. I got shoes older than you. Is your daddy here today? That's all right. But do you go home and sit down and get back up in that high chair that you used to sit in? No, you don't, do you? You still got your pacifier? What, you did away with them things? Amen? You had little, what, G.I. Joe toys and all that stuff, right? You still got them? Don't tell me you did. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I did childish things. But when I become a man, when I become 18 years old, I didn't go back and start crying. That's what he's telling us here. I told you last night, why cry? Speak, do something. For those of you that weren't here, I had a football coach, and he told us, that's been 40 years ago, because I got a 40-year reunion coming up. 40 years ago, my high school football coach, he said, son, either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Don't stand in the way of somebody. Amen? Same way with all of us, in anything you do. But mainly in the gospel. Don't stand in somebody's way. Now look, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that what? We are not going to be. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. What we was talking about last night. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Man, I'll never forget. You know, some sermons stick in your mind. Well, the 15-minute sermon I got was about 18 years ago. Brother Harold Hildebrandt was preaching somewhere. And he took his hand and he said, this is Jesus. He said, and this is you. He said, when that Bible says joint heirs, he said, that's exactly what that means. It don't mean Jesus and you. He said heirs and joint heirs. Whatever Christ gets, you get. And I read that last night. Your inheritance. Christ gave you his inheritance. What a great daddy we got. He came and died for us, folks, to make us joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. Glorified together. With what? God Almighty. Boy, that'll make you happy. But the first stage, Carlos, you do way back there. Let me see. Bear with me a minute. Carlos, give me your car keys. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. Hand me your car keys. Wait a minute. I tell you what. Just hand them to your boy right there. Son, you drive a car home today, okay? You got the keys, right? Look at me. You got the keys, right? You've got the ability. You've got two eyes, two ears, just like your daddy. Look at your daddy. Bless your heart, you even look like him. I said, bless your heart. You got two ears. Listen, I'm making a point here. You got two ears, right? Just like your daddy. You got two eyes. You got a nose. You got hands, right? You got feet. Why can't you drive that car? He's got every faculty to drive the car that his daddy did. Except for experience. Except for experience. He's got, and what? Intelligence. You can give those keys back to your daddy. Carlos has got them. But that's the way with God. God's not going to just hand you car keys. You got to come to a place, even though you are son and daughter of God, you got to come to a place to where he can rely on you when he hands you something. You got hands, you got feet, you got eyes, you got everything you need. But you got to come to a maturity. What a disaster if that boy was to get in that car. Listen, y'all have an insurance claim all the way up the side of this building. Right? Same way with God. But listen, God knows what you do with the keys before he gives them to you. Sometimes we say, God, why are you doing something for somebody and not for me? I hate that. I hate that. Oh, you're doing, Brother Tim. He's so blessed. Number one, if you've come to church, hadn't seen you in 3 months, but Brother Tim comes every Sunday. I ain't got no money, preacher. Have you paid your tithe? Well, I can't pay my tithe. Yet you're a son. Don't deny that. You're a son. That's Carlos's son. Amen? But he does not get the car keys. He does not get the checkbook. Amen? Why? He's waiting. Carlos is waiting, what, a time. A time of authority. A time that he can watch that son. Hey, listen, let me tell you something, girls. Sisters, y'all mature a lot quicker than we do. There's some 30-year-old men that should never get married. Why? Because of our mentality. But God knows. But listen, what a great Heavenly Father, though. He's laid it out there. All the ability that brother needs to drive a car is laid out there. Amen? And according to the state of North Carolina or the state of Georgia, when he turns 16, he has the ability, if he passes a test, if he passes a test, how many of you have had a do-over? We've had to take that test to give. Why? Because we weren't ready. And I thank God for all those tests. He says right here that if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Listen, you're going to have to overcome. On Wednesday night about 5:45, you're going to say, I'm too tired. I can't go to church. No, I can't get up. But now Saturday, when the ball game's on, or your grandkids playing baseball, woo! Yeah. I told the church the other day, I said, y'all wear that bathroom out. I said, but if you're sitting down watching a ball game for 3 hours, you sit there. I'm talking about authority here, listen. I'm talking about God watching you. The Holy Ghost is watching you. Everything you do. Oh, Brother Tim won't see this. I'm not worried about Brother Tim seeing it. Amen? But that first stage, it's a learning stage. Amen? You have to learn. Listen, we understand God by the way we live. Remember the Godhead. The Bible says the Godhead can be understood by what? The things we see. Amen? You know why God's one? Because you know what? Today, I am a son of Samuel Dale. I'm a father of my children. I'm a husband to June Dale. Amen? But how many people am I? I'm one. But now I don't treat my grandkids the same way I treat my wife. Right? God's the same way. Amen? Oh, what a mighty God we serve. He has laid this thing out, and it's so simple. We were talking at church the other day. The deeper we get in God, the more simple it should be. Why would God bring something we can't understand? Listen, God don't waste words. There's not an and or thee that he wasted in this Bible. It will accomplish. He put it there because he knew you'd need it. So the first part of adoption is to make sure you get in the family. Make sure you're in the family and make sure that what? You're a part of the family. Hey, listen, I know you can't be at church every Sunday. And I know there's certain things that happen. I'm not so legalistic, but I'm going to tell you something. When you pick something else over church. I had a brother one time, he said, God give me a job on Sunday. Now listen to how people think. God give me a job on Sunday so I could take all that money and give it to mission work. Wait a minute, a message person. This wasn't a nominal, well, he was in his brain, but he went to a message church. He said, I'm going to work on Sunday. I said, Brother Tom, Lord, I almost said his name. I said, Brother, what are you doing? I said, God didn't give you that job. You know me, I'm just playing. I said, God didn't give you that job, and you'll never be successful with what you think you're going to do. Because that's you, not God. That all right? So we don't get the keys when we first start out. Amen? Listen, we may know what the car is. We know that it drives me to church because he gets in there with Carlos and rides in the car. He's what? He's in the economy of God. But he's not got the authority to jump in that front seat and turn the switch. Right? Same way with you and I. We have to grow up. Come to church. What? Take all this and push everything aside. Amen? That okay? Now this second stage is what we need to come into. This is, if you're born again today, then see, you should take that. I'm the kind of guy that I love mathematics. I was going to be a math teacher, and June cooked my brain. I didn't go back to school. College, that is. I had a full scholarship at college, and I went a year, and I met her, and my brain went to jelly. But I love mathematics because it's precise. 1 + 1 = 2. You know what? 1 + 1 = 2. You can slide that out of the way. 2 + 2 = 4. Slide that out of the way. It's always going to be there. It's always going to work. But you can slide that out of the way. Then 2 × 2 = 4. 4 × 4 = 16. Right? You got it? You understand what I'm saying? Do I need to go any further? It's always there. Amen? You move it out of the way. If you need it, you bring it back. But it's always there. That's what I like about the Word of God. It's always there. But now this first stage of adoption, we know that we're going to be glorified together. We know that we don't have full authority at this stage, but we know that we are in the line of authority. Is that all right? Say amen. Amen. We're in the line of authority. All right? Now let's look at verse 18. Just a few more minutes. Don't say that again. All right, I'll take my time. Take your time. Okay. June told me this morning, she said, where'd you say you saw that clock? Oh, it was in a book. It was a clock in a church, just like that big clock. Didn't have any hands on it. I'm going to take the hands off our clock at church. So the preacher looks up and goes, we're humans. All right, second stage. Oh man, listen. I love the people of God because you make me happy. You make me happy. Now the second stage is, look, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Oh, that's pitiful. Say it. In us. I like that. That's positive. That's 2 + 2 = 4. Move it out of the way. You know that's talking to you. All right. Thank you, Aaron. I needed it. Which shall the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're sons. We're coming to authority. Amen. And I'm going to give an example that's just, to me, it just profound when the Lord showed me this. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now that word, you know, in a Strong's Concordance, if you look it up, that word is creation. For the whole, you don't mind if I read it like that. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You and I. It's waiting. What did I just read? God's waiting on you and I. Adoption time, when he can pour in his fullness. So we've come here to authority. Listen, we cannot go any further without authority. And don't be like the seven sons of Sceva. You know what their problem was? They missed the first part. They weren't sons of God. What about a devil walking up and going, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? You know what? They didn't mess with Jesus or Paul. They knew that was a live wire. But them seven sons of Sceva didn't get to that first part of adoption. They didn't even get in the family. So listen, you're no match for the devil, but what's inside of you is. Look, for the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity. Watch this. Not willingly. Who sold the human race out? Adam. And when Adam fell, the whole creation fell after. So now the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting on me and you. You know why all those earthquakes are happening? You know why all that fire is happening in California? It's my problem. Let's bring it to this part. It's my problem. I told the church the other day, and I listen, here we go again. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I don't go watching for world events. I mean, I don't get enamored with it. You know, I don't get deer in the headlights. Somebody will tell me a little something, I'll say, okay. I'll promise you one thing. Number one, nothing's going to happen until that God doesn't already know about it. And whatever's happening to this earth, I just read it to you. Whatever's happening to this earth is because something's happening to you and me. Brother Tim, I believe this bride is the whole key. Listen, when the United States falls, it's going to fall because we've come to a place. Earthquakes are going to come because we've come to a place. You were preaching there in New Mexico about the sixth seal. Total disruption of nature. What about your nature? Let's take it home. What about my nature? God is doing a total disruption of this nature. Amen? Burning it out. And in turn, it's coming down to the earth. That's why that the whole world is groaning, waiting for us to come back to a place. Listen, they didn't have a problem when Adam was standing on earth at full adoption. The tiger walked up and knew Adam was his God. Adam was his God. Adam named him. Adam had full control. Go lay down. Hey, we saw that a little bit with a man called William Branham. Remember when he said that old bull shook his head? You know what he was shaking his head for? He's going, man, I ain't never felt that before. Every time a man, a regular human man, walks through my field, I want to kill him. I want to kill him. You know why? Because you made me this way. You made me this way. But a little man walked out one day, had something that no other man had walked through that field had had. That bull walked up and he shook his head and he thought, Adam, is that you? Are you back? Those two deer up in the mountains, those two deer walked right up. Now listen, we're all deer hunters. Brother Brown said those two does walked right up. And I bet you they looked at him, and if you could hear what they said, they go, Adam? Are you back? We don't feel any fear. You have some authority that I don't have never felt. Every time I see a hunter, I have fear. I want to run. That's what we got to come back to. No fear. The first time fear was used in the Bible, Adam used it. Every day. Every day, stand up where you're at. Every day, God walked right up to Adam with no reservation and said, "Hey, son, how you doing today?" The Creator and His creation. But when Adam fell, Daddy went looking for his child. His child wasn't anywhere to be found. He wasn't in the normal position that he had been in. Amen? Is that all right? But the first thing he did when he did find Adam, Adam says, "I was afraid." God knew right then. Of course, he knew before the foundation of the world. But he knew right then something, and even Adam knew something had changed in his psyche. Something had happened in his outer man that now he was afraid. The same man that he walked. Oh, please, people, look. If Jesus is going to be visible among us, I read the quote. If he's going to be so real, He's not going to put His precious feet on this earth until the millennium. So it's only going to be Christ seen in you, Christ seen in me. Then we're not. Let's not be afraid to walk up and say, "Oh, Holy Ghost, brother, I love you." And mean it. "Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid." Why did the angel, why did Jesus, every time he appeared, said, "Fear not. Fear not. Fear not." Let me tell you why we're afraid. You hear me? Let me tell you why we're afraid. Because we have questions. The fear I have is when I run toward that wall, I'm going to hit it and break something. Now, when Jesus came, he didn't walk up there to the wall, and the disciples on the other side, and he went. No, he just walked right through it. Walked right through it. He was just as solid as ever because he ate fish. They hugged him. They put their hand in his side. He wasn't a ghost. He was a ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. But authority, I'm sorry. But I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation or making known of the sons of God. For the creature or creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Why? Because it happened with Adam. We just went through that. All right, look. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, look, the whole creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Every little animal that gets hit on the side of the road and killed. Everything that we shoot even. All the things that die. It's our fault. You said, "No, it was Adam." No, Adam's gone. It's you. It's your fault and my fault. Is that okay? Say amen. Amen. Now you talk about authority. Let's talk about authority just for a second. Let me tell you how much authority you already have. Is that all right? Can I do that? Can I use you for an example? Can you stand up, please? Y'all in the back, I'm just tired, or I'd come back and get one of y'all. Have you ever preached a sermon? Really? I know, but just answer my question. Have you ever preached a sermon? No? So you're not a preacher, right? You're born again, right? Amen? You're born again? You teach? No? Oh, really? She's not a teacher. She's not a preacher. She may think in her life that she's not done anything. Kind of a little insignificant. Because I can't preach and make people feel happy. But you do it with your life. But one day, sister, let me tell you how much authority you got. Just throw myself. I tell you what I did one day. You'll be okay if you stand up right there. I forgot to tell you yesterday, but I also own the lawn care service, so I have a big 48-inch Gravely zero-turn lawnmower. So I was cutting grass for a client one day, and he has a pond, and the pond had dried up about this far. So I didn't want to get the weed eater out. So I get down just as close as I could to that, and I hit that mud. And that big 800-pound lawnmower went down in that pond. And here I'm sitting, and it was Wednesday night. Boo devil. It was Wednesday. It wasn't Monday night when I had all night to get it out. It was Wednesday night, and I needed to go to church. So I was going, God, why am I doing, you know, the wheels are just spinning. God, why in the world is this? You know, you have a pity party. I said, God, you know I need to get out of here. Just, Lord, help me get out of here. Just work a miracle. Well, this old man comes driving by in a pickup truck. He gets out and he said, you need some help? I said, yeah. I said, if you don't mind. He said, I got a strap. He said, I'll strap it to you. He said, he pulled over to the side and he pulled that thing out. And I said, well, God bless you, man. I appreciate that. And he drove off. Of course, me still in my pity party. I'm going, man, I'm going to be late for church. God spoke to me. If God ever speaks to you, you better listen. He said, what have you just done? What have you just done? He said, if I'd have got you out of that hole, he said, that man, he brought the scripture back. He said, a cup of water. A cup of water in my name won't be forgotten here. Are they? If God would have got me out of that, he'd have never gave that man an opportunity. Same way with this sister. She's driving down the road one day. Her tire blows out. Nobody stops to help her. But this man comes up and he's a drunk, got tattoos. If you got tattoos, that's okay. Got tattoos all up your arm, earrings in every ear, two of them. He's a whoremonger. Ain't living right. He says, ma'am, can I help you? She said, if you don't mind, could you help me change my tire? He changes that tire and goes on his way.
That's right.
Let me tell you about authority.
Yes,
sir. When we get over on the other side, and we're standing in judgment. And God Almighty's standing looking at that man. And that man says, God, I've done wrong. I know I'm going to hell. There's nothing I've done. I don't even know who you are. And he turns to walk off. And that little sister, she stands up in the back. She says, Lord. He said, hold on a minute. Stop. He said, I hear one of my children. What'd you say? She said, Lord, remember when he changed my tire. You said, Lord, listen, God loves for you to quote his word. He said, you said that it wouldn't be forgotten on this side or where we're standing today. And God looks at that man and says, for her cause, for her authority, that I give her while she was on earth. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Sister, don't you ever think you're insignificant. Brothers, don't you ever think you're insignificant. There's authority. You say to change the mind of God? You can't change the mind of God. He knows by foreknowledge. But you can change a situation. That man didn't know God. He didn't care about God. He bowed his head. He knew he was hellbound. Way back in the back. Way back in the back, she reminded God of his promise. There's authority. Amen? Don't ever think anything happens just by chance. You love the Lord? Amen. Authority. Amen. We think authority is empty in hospitals. We think authority is Brother Tim standing up here and him being able to walk out in midair and the pillar of fire. That would be okay. Right? But the authority is in that word. And if he don't preach that word, we were talking about it yesterday. The Bible says, if in the Old Testament, said if a prophet prophesies and it comes to pass, believe him. But people stop there. The scripture continues on to another scripture that says if he prophesy and it come to pass, but take you to another God. So what's more important, the miracle or what? The word of God. The word of God's more important. Amen? There's where our authority comes from. Brother Branham, speaking the storm and all those things, those are examples. Adam being what? The ruler of the world, those are examples. But you know what it's an example of? You and me. This Bible is a total, listen to this. Everything in that Bible tops you. Everything in that Bible tops you. Why don't we have authority? I just told you how you could have authority. Not the, everybody thinks I got to be a preacher to have authority. Oh, no. Oh, no. Washwoman going about her daily duty. A man walking through Walmart. A sister walking through Walmart. And somebody says, they're different. That's authority. Because this world's crazy, people. This world's crazy. But the authority you have to change a situation. There's your authority. You think, well, see, what I'm trying to tell y'all this whole weekend is, quit looking for something that's coming. It's here. If you're alive, it's in you. It's here. It just takes somebody to shake you every once in a while to literally turn, as we were talking about last night, literally turn you back. Is that all right? Now, the last stage of adoption will be finished right here. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, you've got the fruits of the Spirit working in your life. Now remember, the fruits of the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues and interpretation. That's the lesser ones. Wisdom, faith, and all those other fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to, a faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. You know what? Brother Brown didn't bring the statue of a perfect man. Peter did. Brother Brown knocked the edges off to bring it back to us. It was already preached. That's what I said. Brother Brown didn't come to bring us a new Bible. He just brought us clarity. You know, I was telling him the other day, the church bought Dad a pair of Zeiss binoculars. They were about $2,000. He's getting old. He needs to see. But I told the church the other day, I said, you know what? It doesn't matter if those things cost $2,000 or $2 if they're not in focus. Right, Brother Tim? If they're not in focus, you're not going to be see if it's $2 or if it's $2,000. We got to get focused. If your eye be single, hey, you got two eyes. But your eye better be single. Listen, we got to be laser sharp. Like I said last night, we got to be on the offense. You get on the defense, you're doing this. You're getting beat everywhere. But the offense, that offensive line knows what the play is. And they execute that play, they're going to get a touchdown. Amen? Doesn't matter what defense is there. If the offense is ticking right, so let's stay on the offense. And now, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we within ourselves groan. How many of us have groaned? How many of us have absolutely got down before God and said, God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. Brother Tim's telling us what we're supposed to do. And I'm not doing it. Are we groaning? Are we travailing? I'm asking you that question. Look, the third stage of adoption is this. Number one is you don't get the keys until you come to authority. Now, when you come to authority, you get the keys. All right? And now you and I have come to this place right here. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. There's your last stage. Hey, listen, we don't need adoption in the future home. We don't need adoption in the millennium. We can't have adoption in the future home or the millennium. without having it here. You say, oh, brother, we can. He just said you could. Now that word, the two words, to wit. Now that word wit comes from witty or witness. To witness the redemption of the body. Or to understand, to wit. Wit is witty, it's your wit. Intelligence. We must understand that we've come to that place. That we're in the family, we've come to authority, and the next thing is a change of the body. Amen? But remember, before we go, listen to this one thing. What I was talking about today, earlier, authority is not just authority over situations at home. No, it's authority over the devil. It's authority over death. Because remember, I thought Paul said that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not what? Prevent or hinder those who are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody had to come to authority before that. You think some baby's going to crawl out to the cemetery and go, dead, come out of the ground? No, it's going to be a son and daughter of God with full authority. Full authority. Keys. Authority. And then we're going, right now we're coming to an understanding that our body will be changed. But we've not come to that yet. So let's work on the authority part. Let's work on that part of authority. You say, and like I said last night, speak and just. He told Moses, he said, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Speak. Speak the word and go forward. You say, what if it doesn't happen? What if it does? What if it just steamrolls? And this one gets it, and then that 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 one gets it. The whole congregation has a revival. You love the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Listen, God's here for anything you need. You don't need to come up here. You just believe it in your heart. You speak to that thing in your life that you can't get rid of.
Come on. Come on, Holy Ghost.
You ain't got to call the pastor. You ain't got to call your brother or sister and you know, air out your dirty laundry. You take it to God.
Amen.
You take it to God. If you need prayer, that's okay. But if you don't, speak with authority. But you know what? Don't speak unless you have authority. Right? Because remember, the prophet of God told us that power without character is satanic. But he didn't stop there. He said, but power with character was fit to rule. Rule over what? Anything you got. We have a dominion. It's not in heaven. It's right here. It's nigh thee. It's right in front of us. I'm tired of a beer joint being on my property. I'm tired of people walking on this earth and it's not there. Because it's mine. It's yours. And you know what? God give it to you. So who's going to take it away from you? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you so much for letting me speak today to the purchase of your blood. That we might take this and chew on it a little while. That we'll think about it in the privacy of our home. And as we meditate on you, Father, bring to our remembrance the things that were said. Lord, I'm one to believe tonight or today that you're real. You're not some myth. You're not somewhere we got to go stand in front of a statue. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't have to go do a ritual. We just have to talk to you. Just like Adam talked to you in the cool of the day. Without fear. But Lord, I pray if we do have fear, that you'll take it out of our life. That you'll bind that thing that's binding your people. Lord, you bound it at Calvary. You paid for everything. But Lord, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. This afternoon, Lord, may we receive that pardon. May we receive the full pardon of redemption. That our bodies will be changed. We'll step over in another dimension, and God, you'll go to Israel. You'll do the work there, and we'll come right back here. Because this is ours. This is our possession. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the people here in Kings Mountain, the Living Word Tabernacle. That if we never see them again, we know that one day we'll set eternity and talk about the things that God's done for us. Father, just be with Brother Tim. Keep him strong. Keep him safe. Put that barrier around him that he can be free in the Holy Ghost to bring your word. And may the people be free. May the people be able to receive and let it soak in. And if we think that we're insignificant, remember this story that we just told. How that we imparted eternal life to someone that didn't even want it. But just by the authority that you've given us as sons and daughters of God, that we can speak and something will happen. Father, just bless us and take care of us. Be with us on the highways as we go home. Bless the church there in Lula. Be with them, the ones that's here today, that you just be with them as we travel back. God, just give us. Just give us a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Just give us something, Lord, that we can chew on for days and hours, weeks, months. Father, we love you. We love what you've brought to us. We could be out in the world doing whatever and not caring one thing about this great gospel, but you've put us right in the middle of this thing. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that we'll not shun to do what we're supposed to do. That each one of us will do our work right up to the change of the body. And then we'll get out of here. Let Satan have his romp. But he's only going to be here for a short time. Because this is not his. It's ours. Grant it, Lord. Be with us. Take care of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. I've enjoyed it. It's been a thrill. Brother Tim, you get down, buddy. You just call me. You call me. You just get down. We all get down now. But just call it. You know, just know one thing's for sure. A smiling brother in Georgia is praying for you. Come what may. Job said, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. You know what? He meant what he said because he put it in the Bible. Whatever's in that Bible is true. Amen. You love the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Tim. Come take over the service, brother. God bless you.
At night I lay in bed and I began to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God. cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. Don't you feel it from the other side? I hear the call, and I know His Spirit is moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Yes, my Father, Abba Father. Oh Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull, and as I listen to God's word, with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to give a higher praise. Now there's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. Oh, I know for sure that I'm gonna reach heaven's goal, cause I feel the pull. Everybody now, just worship God. Oh, I feel God's pull. I hear God's call, and I know His Spirit is moving me for me to give God my all. He spoke to me, and today my soul agrees. I feel the pull. The chorus one more time. Oh, I feel God's pull. I hear God's call, and I know His Spirit's moving me to give everything up and give God my all. Don't let nothing stand in your way. He spoke to me. Somebody can say this morning, He spoke to me. And you can say, if you got the Holy Ghost, my soul agrees. You'll agree with every word of God. Come, take control. I feel the pull. Can you say this morning, God spoke to me? Amen. Amen. Calling us to authority. Amen. Adoption, under adoption. Amen. Your birth is not your adoption. That's just how you get started. Amen. Your adoption is when God looks at your behavior and He knows you're mature and He knows you have experience. I mean, you can be grown up. You can be having served God for 75 years and not be ready for adoption. Let me tell you what I did the other day. Now that He's not here, I can get away with saying it. Brother George Charnock drove me all over South Africa. But he got over here. I handed my car keys, and it's legal to do it for 90 days. Handed my car keys on my good car. I said, follow me to the rental place so I can turn this van back in we had used for the church convention. All right, no problem, Brother Tim. He gets in the car, starts it up. But he never drove in America. He never had experience over here. I don't care how long he'd been driving. He wasn't experienced. That's why you have to go through tests and trials so God gets you ready. Takes that car. I go over there to pull it in the gas station to get some gas. He goes to put it in a parking, just a little old parking. I forgot he normally drives on the other side. You know, the steering wheel's on the right side instead of the left in South Africa. So here he is sitting on the left side, and he's normally used to the right. Well, he tries to pull into a parking lot, and there's a work truck, big old work truck. He just takes my car. He just slides it right into the side of that work truck and just pushes the gas pedal and just rakes it all to the side. He gets out, and he said, "What have I done?" He said, "I'll give you $1,000 to fix the car." You know, I said, "You don't owe me nothing, brother. You were trying to help me out." So I got to spend $1,000 or $2 to get the car fixed. Because a brother didn't have experience. Let me tell you, you can be grown up and not have the right kind of experience. That's why you got to go through every type of trial and test. And when the pressure comes down, brother, you'll know exactly what to do at the right time. Amen. Shake somebody by the hand and say, "God, just get me ready. That's all I want. I just want to be ready." When God puts the test to it and it's time to exercise that authority, you'll know just what to do because you've been there and done that. Amen. May God bless you. May God bless you. Put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Amen. Come on, Brother Eric. Where you at, Brother Eric? We gotta sing for Jesus this morning. Amen. Where's Brother Eric? Is he in the house of God this morning? Pardon? Oh, he's interpreting. Well, it's time to quit interpreting. They're going to have to sing. Amen. God bless. These brothers work hard around this church. Amen. Him and Brother Stephen back there just interpreting, and he's jerking out, taking earphones off and got to come up now and sing. Amen. If you don't run, I'm going to get nervous. Amen. I'm kidding you, Brother Eric. You just sing. Amen. Praise God. What's some of them good songs you all sang? You know, you've been singing two or three good songs. Why don't you sing all three of them? At least two of them. Yeah, we ain't worried about baby showers.
Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God. Jehovah is the mighty God. My Lord is the mighty God. My King is the mighty King. Jesus is the mighty God. Every devil's bows before him. Sugar diabetes bows before him. Every disease bows before him. Heart attack bows before him. Even cancer bows before him. Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God. My Lord is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King of Kings. Everybody bows before him. Even Obama bows before him. Even the kings bows before him. Even the queens bows before him. Even the Pope bows before him. Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God. My Lord is the mighty Lord. Mighty King. Everybody's bowed before him. Even Muhammad bows before him. Even Buddha's bowed before him. Even the devil's bowed before him. Jesus is the mighty God. My God is the mighty God. The kings of kings. Even the Pope bows before him. Donald Trump bows before him. Even the kings bows before him. Even the devil bows before him. Jesus is the mighty God. My God is the mighty King. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. The whole church bows before him. Young people bow before him. Even orders bow before him. Every sister bows before him. Even the brothers bow before him. Jesus, 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 Jesus is the mighty God. My Lord is the mighty God. Jesus is the King of Kings. My God is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the mighty God. He's the mighty God. Oh, cast your burdens, oh, unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lower, stomp the devil, lower, stomp the devil, lower, higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your head unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your problems unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lower, stomp the devil, lower, stomp the devil, lower, higher, lift Jesus higher. Higher, lift Jesus higher.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many likes Brother Eric? Amen. Praise God. We love Brother Eric. Let me finish my story. I almost forgot, and the Lord brought it back to me. Raked that car upside that truck. Young guy jumped out, upset. Call the police. Give me your name. Give me your license number. So I pulled out my wallet. That's why I said, I just want to say we're sorry. I said, we didn't mean to do this. The brother, he's from overseas, just trying to help me out. Where we were having a missionary meeting, trying to get the van back to the rental place. I said, I'll pay for any damages done. I said, we're using this van over here to carry a bunch of preachers back and forth to the hotel and their wives. He stopped and he looked at me. And I seen tears get in his eyes. And he said, you know what? He said, just forget it. And I said, wait now, I'll be glad to pay you any amount you need. And I said, I'll pay it. He said, no, sir. He said, it's on my heart just to forget about it. Amen. I looked at him. I said, one day when I'm in the presence of God, I'll remember that. I shook his hand and I left. Amen. God has a reason for all things. Amen. Everything works together for the good. Amen. So Brother Sharnick had to wreck my vehicle so God could do something for an eternal good. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that. Just think about that. It overwhelms me. Amen. I enjoyed the message this morning. I enjoy good Bible teaching. And it's not all about the jumping up and down and running. I like to do all of that. But let me tell you, let my soul anchor in the Word. Amen. Amen. And I just enjoyed that because I believe that this is the hour of adoption. This is the time. This is the dispensation for the time. We're right here. Amen. This is our cycle. This is our time. And we are the people that's fulfilling that. And we're so grateful to the Lord for making us a part of that. We will be having Sister Naomi a baby shower this Saturday, November the 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. She's not having a boy. Somebody put on her, she is having a boy. But she has already had the boy. The boy is over in an incubator. Premature, he just was born. Premature boy. But he's healthy. I went over and looked at him. And he's got all his fingers, all his toes. And he don't like the light over him with that mask on his head, you know, keeping the lights out of his eyes. He's reaching them little old fingers up and just tearing that thing off and pulling it down over his face. And I said, looky there, little guy like that knew everything that was going on. Anyways, Brother Smith said he's had four girls. God showed him after the first one, the Lord was going to give him a son. It took three more girls before it produced the boy. I said, are you done? He said, I'm done. Sister Naomi was just grinning. You know, she was happy. It's over, man. I produced a son. Amen. One day we're going to produce. Amen. Christ is going to be completely formed. And it'll be over. We won't have to worry about it no more. Amen. So anyways, that'll be this Saturday, November 11th, 1 o'clock p.m. Little Seth Victor. And come and celebrate with her. Amen. Missionary offering here at the end of the service if the brothers will get that ready. Like we normally do once a month. And we're just grateful to the Lord. Amen. For all things. Amen. Did you enjoy the word? Yes, I appreciate, by the way, appreciate, amen, his genuineness of heart for the gospel. Appreciate the Lord. Amen. Appreciate God. Next year, you know, we're still kind of fresh on this convention. And I'm not sure what will happen next year either. Either it just kind of depends on, I guess, who I invite, how I invite, what I do. But if we do what we did this year and we have another big crowd out, we're not going to probably be able to have in this building. I think we're going to get in trouble with the fire marshal. So I don't want to do that. You know, police is kind of has a little knowledge of it now and things. So I want to be respectful to the laws of the land. But what we're going to do is, unless the Lord changes me, I'm going to rent a tent that'll seat close to 1,000 people. And it's going to go right here in this parking lot beside the church. I've measured it out and it'll work. We can recover the 30 parking places in a couple other areas we've designated. And we can add to. And that way we'll have access to the church, the bathrooms. We can put a couple, three or four porta-johns out and it'll work. But I'm going to take up, instead of one offering, I'm going to take up two offerings. One 6 months in the middle. And one at the ankle. We need to double the money. We need to get this tent paid for. And I'm going to start putting money back for me once a month. I'm going to start shelling money out because, you know, just it's just a lot of money. You know, just a lot of money. I mean, the hotel bill is $10,000. Just a lot of money to take care of all the brothers and people. So we want to take care of, we want to do it. So I'm going to do that because I want to be able to really do something nice for the people this next year. Really have a nice tent meeting. Had a brother call me and heard I was going to put up a tent. And he said, called me, left a voicemail. You ought to hear the voicemail. I think I still got it on my phone. He says, calls me up. He said, Brother Tim, I hear you're thinking about having a tent. That's a great idea. He said, it could be that Brother Branham's going to come back to your tent. And the tent vision is going to be fulfilled at Living Word Tabernacle in Gastonia, North Carolina. And I thought, well, That sounds good to me, but I don't think it'll happen that way. Amen. Whatever God wants to do is all right with me. Main thing, I want you to be covered up from rain and the sun, and we put some walls on if it's cold, put some heaters in there like they do. But outside of that, we can pack the people in here. We can line up. We can get 1,500 people in this place if we do something like that. So we get 2,000, or we just wouldn't have parking places. But anyways, there's a way to do it. But how many is willing to give a couple offerings this year for next year? Maybe 6 months from now we'll do an offering, and then 6 months later, a week or so before our convention, we'll do the last one. That way maybe it won't be such pressure. Y'all have done so well, and the work y'all did was fantastic this year. The unity was better than it's ever been. And even last night's service, as many of you all that was sleeping last night, there was a bunch of people here from our church in church last night. Rest of you is working or sleeping or just whatever you were doing. I'm not sure what you were doing, but amen. As long as you have a good excuse, that's fine. But anyway, we were here and we had a good time. So, but I do appreciate all the support, and we had wonderful support last night, and we're just grateful to the Lord for his goodness. How many can see that the church is actually improving? Amen. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign that God's growing in your heart. Amen. And there's a love for the word, love for the truth. So may God richly bless you. Amen. Do we got any of you young men here that believe that y'all are a real Christian? Any of y'all can say you're a real Christian? Raise your hand if you believe you're a real Christian. Amen. I want you to come dismiss us in prayer. Would you do that? Come on, brother. Amen. These young men are forgotten about. I've been watching them. And they love the Lord. And they're standing and they're amen in the word and they're listening. And I think we need to respect these young men and appreciate them for their dedication to God. They could be out on the street. They could be doing anything you want to do, rebellious, anything. But instead, they're sitting up here in the front row, listening to the word, and I can feel their heart receiving. Feel it. Yeah, you can feel that pull of their heart receiving the word of God. How many appreciate our young people? May God, as we dismiss, remember the missionary offer.
Seigneur Jésus-Christ, je vais te dire merci pour tout ce que tu as fait pour nous cette journée. Comme tu nous as protégés depuis qu'on est venu à l'église, tu nous as protégés. Quand on avait prêché la parole, tu nous as protégés dans tout ce qu'on a fait pour nous. Seigneur Jésus-Christ, Papa, je te demande que tout ce qu'on a prêché aujourd'hui, que ça entre dans notre cœur, quand on utilise ça dans quelque chose, quand on passe dans quelque chose dans notre vie, qu'on utilise ça, que quoi on pense de ça, que ça nous dit quelque chose dans notre cœur, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, Papa. Je te dis merci pour tout ce que tu as fait pour nous. Je te demande qu'on va rentrer à la maison, que tu nous protèges, que tu nous gardes, que tu nous bénis, que tu sois avec nous dans tout, que tu écoutes les désirs profonds de notre cœur, que tu sois avec nous dans tout. En absence de Jésus-Christ, Papa. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. May God bless you. Shalom, shalom. Amen. I feel the pull. We want Brother Wade to know he's always welcome at Living Word Tabernacle. Amen. How many will shake his hand and say, thank you, brother. Amen. Try to make it a point today. I feel the pull.